I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Welcome to Orioles on the Verge. This is Zach Spedden, joined as always by Bob Phelan and Nick Stevens. And on tonight's episode, we're going to break down Heston Kjerstad's return to the major leagues as he had a strong performance at the plate in the Orioles' most recent homestand against the Cleveland Guardians and the Texas Rangers. We're going to look at how Kjerstad could fit in with the Orioles down the stretch, question whether or not he's a possible trade candidate as the team tries to upgrade itself between now and the trade deadline at the end of this month, or if he is indeed a long-term part of the Orioles plans. That will be on tonight's episode a little bit later on. But first, Orioles on the Verge is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here. And as we like to do at the top of every episode, we want to welcome a new member to our Patreon community, and I will turn it over to Bob to do the honors.
Yeah, I want to thank Matt Fagan, F-I-E-G-E-N, if that's how you pronounce it. It's a tough one, for signing up at the AA level hours before we came on air. So really appreciate it. Hope you enjoy the content.
And that is great timing because we will be releasing our Top 50 Prospects update in just a few days for the month of July to all paying members of our Patreon community. So you're going to want to sign up to get that if you haven't already. And before we dive into tonight's topic, I just want to welcome back Nick, who was well-rested after vacation and ready to stun Baltimore Orioles fans with his ridiculous antics. Nick, how are you feeling after your week off?
Week off, vacation. If you call going to the beach with a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old for a week a vacation, sure, I'm well-rested, ready to go.
Sounds like you're more tired than ever, and I get it.
I've got hashtag not sponsored, but if Dewey Beer wants to sponsor us, this is some of the best beer I've had in a long time. So at least I've got this going tonight.
Yeah, if there's any Calmine lotion companies out there that want to sponsor as well, I could use some. Thanks.
Playing her for the second time in recent weeks. You had the bad back a few episodes ago. Now you got Poison Ivy. You know, you're just the Austin Hayes of this podcast, minus the low walk rate. But that's a discussion for another night.
And that hurts. Now, That hurts worse than the poison ivy.
We'll talk now about Heston Kjerstad, who was recalled by the Orioles before their most recent homestand and went on a tear at the plate. He appeared in 6 games, starting 5 of them, and went 7-for-16 in that span with 2 home runs, including a crucial grand slam in Saturday's game against Texas, along with 2 doubles, 3 strikeouts, 2 walks, plus an intentional walk. So that gave him as many walks as he had strikeouts over that span. And Kjerstad comes to the majors really with nothing left to prove at AAA. He has hit well there since joining the Tides for the first time last year. Now the question is this going to be the chance for him to get regular at-bats in the majors? And Nick, we'll start right there. Kjerstad gave us a glimpse of what he can do at the plate when he's locked in during this most recent homestand. And without his performance, the Orioles might not win that series against the Rangers. So how are you feeling about the way he looks at the plate right now?
I just think this past weekend against Texas was a good example as to why it was okay that Kjerstad went down again earlier this year. And I'm probably going to be a little contradictory in a way when we talk about Kobe Mayo in the next segment, but like there are pros and cons to both sides of this argument. A lot of people I know were really frustrated when Kjerstad got sent down, even more frustrated when he got sent back down to AAA and just started raking once again. I think that first at bat after he got sent down, then he hit a home run or something. I don't know. He took off. But anyway, it's like, yeah, AAA pitching isn't great. It's not good. The you hear all the time about that gap between the AAA and the major leagues is widening. And it's tough to find quality pitching to test yourself against in AAA. But Kjerstad only had like 800-something minor league at-bats coming into this year because he missed 2020 because of the pandemic, 2021 due to the myocarditis, and then like what, half of 2022 because the injury right at the end of spring training. Yeah, he very quickly made up that time and shot his way up to the major leagues last year, but like I didn't see any harm in him terrorizing AAA pitchers for a few more weeks until the team felt like they were ready to give him regular, pretty much every day at-bats. And I'd say the 2 home runs, 8 RBI, just as many walks of strikeouts in a weekend series against Texas is pretty solid. And if the plan is for him to take over Santander's role next year, which you know we'll talk about later on, I think he's in a great spot. And I think him being back down in AAA was good for him. And hopefully this, we feel like we use the term springboard a lot recently. I kind of like it now. Hopefully this past weekend was that springboard for Kjerstad and proof to himself, first and foremost, that he belongs in the major leagues. Because a confident Heston Kjerstad, I feel like, is a, as we've seen in AAA at least, is a pretty dangerous Heston Kjerstad.
Yeah, and I'm going to take this question, a route on to this question, the way Austin Hayes took a route on that triple that Kowser would have easily caught for a flyout last night. with Kjerstad, look, everyone knows I love Eno Saris, I love Rates and Barrels, but they were talking about him today, or maybe it was yesterday's episode, and people do this, they mention his age when it comes to projection for him, and it's easy to forget, but like Nick said, he missed 2.5 seasons because of stuff completely out of his control. So to me, I take his age to level with a grain of salt. It felt different right away as soon as he was caught up this time around, and I know Kyle Stowers was sent back down because they needed an infielder when Juan Soto ran into Westberg. Nick Maton came up for a couple games, and that gave them a chance to bring up Kjerstad when Maton got DFA'd again. But it just felt like that he was being handled differently right away. Batting fifth, facing a lefty in the lineup, just putting him out there more than the last time he was up. And he's taking advantage of it. He's hitting doubles into the left center gap. That was nice to see last night. A grand slam on a ball right on his hands, and he might not have the best exit velocities, but he's got decent exit velocities combined with just the ability to barrel up everything. I call him the Barrel King if you listen to our dailies, because he hits it hard at a good launch angle and all over the field. Yeah, I think he's here to stay this time, and I think he might have just priced himself out of another team's price range when it comes to the trade deadline coming up.
Yeah, and I think it's worth going there next with Kjerstad, because we are coming up on a trade deadline. It's less than a month away now, and we know that the Orioles have clear and obvious needs when it comes to their pitching staff. When you look at the Orioles depth chart on paper, Kjerstad makes sense as a trade chip. He's somewhat blocked, depending on your perspective. He has a lot of time at AAA. We know that there are strengths to his game as well as some limitations, especially on defense. So if you could get something for him, it makes sense. But this is also a former number two overall pick in the draft, a guy who ranks inside the top five of our top 50 list right now, and pretty much a consensus top 100 prospect in the game. So he's not someone that you should give up just for the sake of trading. So how do you guys see him in the conversation, if at all, of prospects who could be traded?
I don't know what you guys feel about this. I feel like the Orioles are in a very... This is a big-time luxury for the Orioles, I feel like, because there are a lot of different options. And even though I felt like Sunday night, you know, the world, it was another instance of the world falling apart, and Mike Elias just quietly goes to bed happily, not trade. Another day goes by, he doesn't get to trade away a prospect. Life is good, even though trying to look up the schedule here. And yeah, the Orioles won 2 of 3 from the Rangers, and they're in first place in the AL East. So the world is not falling apart.
3 of 4.
Beach vacation brain. So they won the series against the Rangers. They're in first place. Things are going pretty darn well. Everyone has pitching injuries. Everyone has injuries across the board. The Orioles are not in a unique situation, other than unique in that they're really good and winning a lot of baseball games. But you're in this unique situation where Santander, you could bring him back. You could bring Ryan O'Hearn back, and Kerstad does become tradable. Like I think a lot of people have kind of moved Kerstad into this untouchable range after this past weekend. I don't agree with that. I mean, even Jackson Holliday is not untouchable. He's tradable for the right price as well. But like I think Kerstad is movable if that's the plan. But you know, at the same time, it's July 1st. Wondering this. There are some teams who may at this right now, they may not be sellers. Other organizations may not view them as sellers, but in 2 weeks, a lot can change and they may become sellers. You got to be patient and see where this market really is at in a couple of weeks. She's got, a month until the trade deadline? So the Orioles can be patient here. They don't need to make a move right now. They can let Kerstad, Santander, and everybody get their at-bats. And if the right price, I do think Kerstad has now entered this phase of, you better come offering a big-time player or players if you want Kerstad. But the Orioles don't have to trade him right now. They can sit back and wait. And if they feel confident that Santander, they can reach a deal with Santander and bring him back, Ryan O'Hearn's, $3 million, $3.5 million, $4 million next year. If they want to run it back again next year with the same guys, they can do that. If they feel like Santander, they've had conversations with his reps. They know where the Santander stands right now. I wouldn't blame Santander if he wants to go test free agency. This could be his one shot to go get that really big bag. Go get it. I hope he gets it. I hope he's earned every penny he gets on the free agent market, if that's the route he takes. The Orioles can say, okay, we lost Santander in free agency. Thank you for your services. You're an amazing member of Birdland. We'll remember you forever. Go get your money. We've got Kerstad right in the wings. It's just this luxury position they're in what do I think happens? I think Santander walks in free agency, and Kerstad is the natural replacement. But at the same time, like I said, if the right deal comes calling, I think if you're Mike Elias, you still make that move and you do move Kerstad. But I don't know. A lot of different ways this could go, and there's still no rush right now.
Yeah, and I think hopefully people understand when we say someone's untouchable, we mean there's not a trade that's going to be offered that you're willing to accept for them. They would have to make you an offer you can't refuse, and it would have to be so over the top that it's basically the same as untradeable, because it's not going to happen realistically. But Kerstad, I do believe, is the highest prospect that could be traded before this deadline or this offseason coming up. And I think, like Nick said, Orioles are in a perfect spot here between cheap option that's going to be picked up for Ryan O'Hearn going into next year. You're going to offer Santander a qualifying offer. He either accepts it and you have him for another year at a reasonable rate. Great. If he doesn't accept it, he can go get his money and we get a draft pick and Kerstad takes his place. And if he does accept it and you have O'Hearn, Kerstad, and Santander still, maybe you work out a big trade in the offseason then with Kerstad involved, or you find someone that loves Ryan O'Hearn and what you've turned him into, and you can trade him. But options, options, options. It's what the Orioles love, and they've got plenty of them right now. But yeah, like if I can't even imagine Garrett Crochet, just if the Orioles are going to trade for Garrett Crochet, Heston Kerstad's probably in that deal. But like we talked about, I don't even know if that's the best fit, but there are scenarios where I could see them still trading Kerstad, but the more he stays here and performs, like, I think it's going to be a little harder for them to give him up when you got 6 years of control left on him after this year for cheap. And he's a major league caliber hitter that can easily play right field, DH, maybe first base if he gets a little bit better at it. But yeah,
there's any number of routes the Orioles can go. And I agree that I kind of view however you want to define untouchable. I think that there's three players that probably fit into that category: Samuel Basayo, Kobe Mayo, and Jackson Holliday. If you want to look at that next tier of, they might be moved, but it's going to have to be a pretty high price. Kerstad's the first name on that list for me, because not only is he your logical successor to Santander, if Santander does walk in free agency, but he has a chance to actually make this team better down the stretch. I'm not concerned about Colton Cowser.
Join me, Dr. Panico, with Cindy Lauper and Chef Michelle Bernstein to talk about plaque psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis, the potential connection and risk of developing permanent joint damage.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB, serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. It may lower your ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTIX or cosentix.com/Cindy.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
I think he's going to be fine the rest of the way, but it's clear that in the last couple of weeks, he's needed a little bit of a reset. You're going to have to live with a lot of ups and downs with Austin Hayes and Cedric Mullins, and Santander didn't really start hitting until the beginning of June. So having that other bat there is going to help the Orioles immensely down the stretch. Even if Kerstad is not your everyday right fielder, I think that he can be a big boost to this lineup.
I think the defense is, I think we talked about this before. The defense is, we haven't seen a super long stretch of it in the major leagues right now, but I think the defense is very comparable to Santander in that, like, it's, people are going to constantly knock Kerstad's defense, but I think it's going to be always this situation of, it's actually not as bad as a lot of people make it out to be. Like, this would be a lot easier. I would say, yeah, I'm not moving Kerstad at all if left field wasn't going to be a bit of an issue for him. Like, that is one thing that we can say. Like, how confident would we feel with Kerstad playing a lot of games out in left field? Not that confident. But, like, he's, and like Bob said, like, the barrels, I remember looking at the data last year, like, his exit velos weren't anything like eye popping, but you see the raw batting practice power, and I felt like it didn't really match up to like some of the data we saw last year. And I was like, all right, is Kershaw like a 15 a year home run guy who maybe walks a good bit, gets on base at a good clip? But then you look at like his barrel rate, his ability to consistently launch angle plus EV, 95 plus miles per hour, that is like, was at least last year, I haven't looked this year to check, but at least last year in AAA was like unmatched compared to his peers down in Norfolk. Yeah. And it's like, that's going to lead to a lot of home runs, especially that lefty bat playing in the AL East. So like, it's great. I think if he is a replacement to Santander, then awesome. Like you said, the cheap option for the next 5-6 years, he's going to put up the power numbers. Could he give you 30 home runs a year in the major league level? Probably. The defense, people are always going to knock the defense, but it's better than what I think a lot of people are going to give him credit for. So
I agree on the defense. He makes it look a little harder. Like when he's running, he's going all out. It looks like it's a little uncontrolled, but I do agree. I think it's Santander level, or at least could get there, where it's like he's going to make the plays. He at least knows how to take the right route to the ball, unlike the guy I'm taking after this year. But real quick, when it comes to Colton Cowser, I think because he got off to such a hot start, had such a great spring training, people forget he's a rookie. This is his first year other than like 40 at-bats last year. I mean, he's going to have his ups and downs. I know he's been struggling a little bit, but he's still got a 777 or something OPS. I mean, it's pretty darn good for a rookie who can give you great defense at all three outfield positions. Sorry for the tangent, but yeah, I'm super happy with Kershaw and what he's doing, and I just hope he continues to take advantage of the playing time. Yeah, like Zach said, even if it's a little bit more sparing where he's starting 4 or 5 times a week instead of mostly every day, I think that's fine. He's a great power bat off the bench as well. Yeah, as usual, the Orioles are in a great spot, and despite fans and media claiming you can't just hoard your prospects, you got to trade them, you're trying to win a World Series, well, I think I trust this front office to play for the now and later at the same time.
Yeah, go ahead.
I see that triggered me. I see that. I still see that all the time, right? Zach was right. I'm in the mood. I'm ready to go. I still see this comment all the time. Like, Michael Elias hoards his prospects. He's not going to trade anybody. Why hasn't he made that trade? He traded Joey Ortiz and D.O. Hall for Corbin Burns just a couple of months ago. Like, he traded a potential all-star, well, now third baseman looks like in Milwaukee, but regardless, like a potential all-star player. And Hall, unfortunately, the injury bug is continuing to bite him in Milwaukee, and you hate to see that. At least it's his knee and not an elbow or shoulder or anything right now. But, like, he traded two major pieces for that ace. Like, I have all the confidence that if it comes along, that deal comes along where he has to move some big time names, you know, maybe it's not Mayo or Basayo. AJ Preller can wheel and deal and keep a lot of his top prospects. Michael Elias can do it too. Like, he will make, I have all the confidence in the world that if, as long as the right trade comes about, because remember, these trades are very, very difficult to agree to. If that trade comes about, I have I have all the belief in the world that Elias will pull that trigger and make that deal, because like, this is the year. The Orioles are in prime position to win the World Series. This organization knows that. Corbin Burns is here for possibly 1 year. They're going to take advantage of that.
Oh, and for the record, remind me when tax season comes next year, I bought full access to the baseball trade values for the trade simulator with the trade deadline coming up. So business expense, if you got any trade questions, hit me up. Let's do this.
Yeah, Nick, I'm glad you said that, because even the Sunday Night Baseball telecast was bringing that up. And I'm like, aren't you guys supposed to be covering the game that's being played on the field right now and not trying to analyze how the Orioles are going to move all these prospects? One way or another, it's going to work itself out, because it already has. This time last year, we were trying to figure out how you're going to fit in all these infielders. We're still talking about that. But to Nick's point, Michael Elias did trade a guy who I think at the bare minimum is going to be a solid major leaguer for a long time to come in Joey Ortiz, and possibly, you know, an all-star once or twice, maybe more in his career. Joey Ortiz is going to have a really good career. That was not a small price to pay. And I'm sure it's one the Orioles would like to have not paid, but they knew that they needed Corbin Burns. They knew he gave him the best chance to win now, and he's going to do it. And honestly, Yeah, I know that I'm going off on a separate conversation here, but there's not a Corbin Burns on the trade market right now. There's absolutely not.
No, there's really not, especially with Luzardo just back on the injured list. Obviously, you could still make a trade for him, but I feel like it'd be more for next year and the year after. We've talked about Crochet to death. Yeah, the best guys out there are guys like Eric Fetty, Cal Quantrill, of all people, for the Rockies. You know, Kikuchi with the Blue Jays. I don't know if they're willing to trade with us, but, you know, there's these mid-tier arms. I don't, unless someone out of the blue, like Tarik Skubal, if you blow them away for, I don't know why they would trade him, because I feel like they feel like they're close to competitive now. But, yeah, I don't think that guy's really out there. I don't think there's a high-end guy that you would even need or want to trade a Basayo or a Mayo for, let alone Kerstad. You see people tweeting, if you want to win the championship, you're going to have to trade one of Basayo or Mayo. It's like, what? Why? Just because? For the optics? I don't get it, but yeah.
So a good question here from Sim Contributed. I'll take this one, then I've got a question for you guys to wrap up this segment. Is the likely scenario the trades will be the return the O's can get for a package / packages that do not include Holiday, Basayo, Mayo, or Kerstad? So in other words, I think the Orioles may be targeting deals where they don't have to give up one of those four guys. What are your thoughts?
I think you could get Eric Fetty, and actually, as I'm talking, let me pull up this trade I put together today for Eric Fetty, Michael Kopech, and Tommy Pham. I had us giving up, sorry. Basically, it was like Connor Norby, Justin Armbruster, Alex Pham, and Hudson Haskin, something like that. Like, you can, you know, one good prospect, whether it's, you know, Connor Norby, Dylan Beavers, one of those types in the middle of our top 10, plus a few guys lower on the list. I feel like that's pretty much the level of trade you're going to see this deadline.
Yeah, I think when we did the couple weeks ago, when we had listeners kind of submit those trade ideas, and talking through those and thinking about it more, like, it makes a lot of sense right now. Like, you, even with all the injuries, Wells and Bradish and Means and even Danny Coulomb, like all these pitching injuries happening, I still feel like you can greatly improve this rotation and even bring in some assets that could help you out next year, stabilize things where there's going to be even more questions, and not give up Mayo, Basayo, Holiday, and like even Kerstad right now. Like, this is a very deep farm system, and it's not the idea of, you see a lot of trade proposals that's like, let's trim all the fat and trade it away for this stud for Tarik Skubal. Like, it's not, you can't trade Hudson Haskin, Armbruster, and Connor Norby, and like,
I found it, by the way. It was Norby, Brandon Young. That was like a decent pitcher. One of the Rule 5, mm-hmm. One of the Rule 5 eligible guys, whether it's Young, McGow, or Brnovich. Norby, Young, one of John Rhodes or Hudson Haskin, or one of Alex Pham, Justin Armbruster, Keegan Gillies, insert guy there.
Yeah, like, you can move these guys, a large number of prospects, and your farm system really isn't hurt. Like, you have Enrique Bradfield Jr. and Judd Fabian. Like, could you move one of them? Yeah, because both guys have very high ceilings, play very good center field. Like, we talked about them before. You've got a lot of duplicates. You've got a lot of depth at other positions where you can bring in good talent. It's not going to be a Corbin Burns type move unless there's this surprise player, the surprise trade that Elias is able to pull off. But you don't need to bring in another Corbin Burns. You just need to like strengthen up the back of this rotation, and you can do it with solid arms, like above average, well above average, solid arms that are going to be assets to you in the playoffs. And you can trade hefty hauls for these guys, and your farm system, they're not going to be the number one farm system in baseball, but like, you can still bring quality arms without trying to just shed off all the fat and like trade away your waste to other organizations. Like, there are legitimate prospects like Norby, like a Beavers, like either Fabian or Bradfield. These are studs. You probably not gonna trade Bradfield because you just drafted him, but like, these are studs that the Orioles have that, you know, you could say they're blocked, but there are a lot of guys like that in this organization. And at the same time, you don't have to make a lot of these big deals either. Like,
and I think it's worth putting into perspective, the Orioles farm system is at a level that a guy like Connor Norby, who in most lists is probably in the 7 to 10 range right now, it's probably a top three prospect in at least a third, if not half, the farm systems in baseball. He's probably a starting second baseman on a lot of teams right now. So that's something you really want to keep in mind as you look at the Orioles farm system. And I'll wrap here with this. We'll have our main, the second top 50 prospect update for our main feed in August. That's the one we do right after the draft. Will Heston Kjerstad be on that list? And if not, will it be because he graduated and is still an Oriole? He graduated and was traded, or he was just traded?
I'm going to say it's because he graduated. He's still an Oriole and he's graduated. I've said many times since the summer that I want Santander to be an Oriole for the next couple of years, but I also realize that he could probably get a nice hefty bag in free agency, and he's probably going to want to test that. This is his one shot. And I think I said before the season started, I don't know if we talked about this or not, but before the season started, if you would have asked me, okay, just the Orioles only get to keep one guy. Again, this is before the season started. If the Orioles only get to keep one guy between Kowser and Kjerstad, who would they keep? I would have said Kjerstad. For whatever reason, I just felt like this organization truly believed that Kjerstad could be an integral part to this roster moving forward. And I think based on the actions we've seen the organization take with him this year, I think that is proving that point right now. Not that they would want one over the other, but that Kjerstad is going to be an integral part to this roster. And I think they're setting him up pretty nicely to be Santander's replacement if that ends up being the case. So I think he graduates because he's an Oriole for the next couple of years.
I still would take Kowser just because the defense mostly, and man, he hits the ball way harder, not way harder, but a lot harder than Kjerstad. Obviously, if he could get the barrel rate Kjerstad had, we got a 40 home run hitting center fielder, but I digress, as Bob Haney would say. Yeah, I think he will be graduated from our list, and that will be a fun list to put together with him and potentially Cade Povich graduating plus new draft picks. That's going to be fun. But yeah, I think he's going to stay in Baltimore, graduate, and yeah, that's my answer.
And you can look forward to that list in August. But if you want some top 50 updates in the meantime, sign up for our Patreon community, because our top 50 update for the month of July is going to drop this week. And without giving too much away, I will say that there are some interesting changes from last month and from more recent months on there. So you're going to want to check that out. We're going to be back later this week to talk about Kobe Mayo and what his future holds as he tears the cover off the ball at AAA. We're also going to dive into Fangraph's new top prospects list for the Orioles farm system. In the meantime, though, you can check us out on our many social media channels. We're over at Facebook, Threads, Instagram, X, TikTok, and YouTube. You can also find some written content from the three of us over at Substack, OrielesOnTheVerge.substack.com. For Bob Phelan and Nick Stevens, this is Zach Spedden. You've been listening to Orioles on the Verge, presented by BetOnline and part of the Believe Podcast Network.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island.
He's John Littlefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
With the $5 meal deal at McDonald's, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Price and participation may vary. For a limited time only.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.